Today's shir is Masechta Nedarim Daf Nun Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Nun Amud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues in discussing Rebbe's wealth, and as the Mefarshim explained, it's connected to the previous Gemara, firstly because in the directly previous Gemara that we had learned that Rebbe was speaking to someone about preparing 800 or 1,000 ways of preparing one dish. So we see the tremendous wealth that was in place in Rebbe's home. And moreover, as we discussed in the previous year at length, the great wealth that Rebbe Akiva had. So our Gemara discusses now Rebbe's wealth. Says the Gemara, Rebbe Ovalei Halula Reb Shimon Berei. Rebbe made a wedding for his son, Reb Shimon, and he did not invite Ba Kapara. Kosav al Beis Ganana, so Ba Kapara wrote graffiti on the wedding hall. And he wrote, Esen v'arba alfen ribuin dinarim, nofak al Beis Ganana today. Rebbe spent 240 million dinarim on this wedding. And some of Farshim say it wasn't actually on the wedding to spend such an exorbitant sum. What Rebbe spent, the 240 million dinarim, was on the house that he bought for his son to live in after the wedding. And Bakapara continued writing, and he did not invite Bakapara. And as we begin this piece of Gemara, there are two fundamentally different approaches amongst the Mefarshim on how to understand the fact that Rebbe did not invite Bakapara. Some explain that Rebbe just forgot to invite Bakapara, while others explain the Rebbe specifically had a hashkofa, had a very different opinion and a practical approach to life that was evident in this invitation, as we will explain. Amalei, so Bakapara said to Rebbe, Imla Oivei Ritzonikach, if this is what is treatment, the people who don't fulfill Hashem's wishes, Loisei Ritzonai, certainly those who fulfill what Hashem says will get tremendous benefit. So some of Farshim explained, probably the simplest pshat, is that Ba Kapara was referring to himself. If I, who he considered himself an Oivrei Ritzoina, a person who doesn't act properly, this is the punishment that I don't get invited to the wedding, people who do the right thing certainly will get tremendous schar. Another pshat is given that Rebbe was the Nasi, he was the leader of the Jewish people, so he certainly had to invite to the wedding all sorts of individuals who weren't necessarily even Jewish or very observant. But that was part of his job as being Nasi. And they intended this beautiful wedding. And Bakapara said, if they, who really don't act as necessarily as appropriately as possible, deserve to be invited and enjoy such a wedding, certainly those that do act properly, what tremendous schar will they receive. However, the other pshat, which really speaks to a very fundamental hashkofa between Rebbe and Bakapara, was as follows. Bakapara, as we will learn, was a batchin. He was a person that made people happy. And his hashkofa, his attitude was that it's important to act that way, that it's important to be happy and smile. Rebbe had a very different hashkofa. Rebbe's hashkofa was that this world was supposed to be serious. We remember the Gemara that we learned at the end of Masechet Ksubis, where Rebbe put out his hands and he said that he left the world, I did not have the smallest amount of enjoyment in this world. So Rebbe Bakapara was saying to Rebbe, in Ma'ivrei Ritzoinai, I feel that you are a person who is a Ivrei Ritzoinai that doesn't act properly. Your actions of not being besimcha are inappropriate. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats you so well. Lo'isi Ritzoinai, certainly those that act like me, who act besimcha, certainly will get tremendous schar. Asmenei, Rebbe saw how bothered Bakapara was by the fact that he didn't invite him to the wedding. Amar, so Rebbe invited him. At that point, Abakapara said, certainly, you, Rebbe, you will have good in this world and in the world to come. Says the Gemara, Yom the Mechayich by Rebbe, in a day the Rebbe smiled, laughed, also Puranas La'olam. Punishment came to the world. Mefarshim explained, two pshatim. One pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees that there's a certain amount of yisurim, of pain that has to be in the world. Rebbe accepted this pain upon himself. Rebbe accepted this pain upon himself in order that the rest of the world should have a kapara. Were Rebbe not to accept the pain, as the Gemara says, Yoyma the Mechayich by Rebbe, so the rest of the world would unfortunately have to suffer. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that Rebbe lived after the Churban Habayis, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and Rebbe never left because he wanted to feel the Churban, and that is so important. And if Chas V'Shalom were Rebbe to live, that could bring Puranius, because we are not properly mourning the Churban Habayis. Amalei Lebakaparo, so Rebbe says to Bakaparo, Loi Tevatchin, don't make me laugh, for you have Nalach Arben Gerui Chitin. I'll give you 40 measures of wheat, just not to make me laugh. And again, if we use the approach which we've been using, it's the Chassam Sofer's approach, other Mefarshim in our Gemara, that Rebbe B'Shita, in principle, was against laughing, and he therefore didn't want Bakapara to act as a batchin. And therefore he says, if you won't act as a batchin, I'll pay you. Amle lechsimar. So Bakapara said to Rebbe, I accept. However, he said, I want you to know the kol geruya to be nishakal, and I'll be able to get whatever I want anyway. And what Bakapara did was, shakal di kula rabba, he took a very large basket, chafrei b'kufra, and he coated it with tar, as if anything were to be put into it, could not fall out, because it was so well insulated. The sachvei al reishe, and he put it on his head, he put the basket on his head upside down. Vazava amrele, lechali mar, arben girvin chita derishinabach. Please give me the 40 measures of wheat that you owe me. Achach Rebbe, and Rebbe looking at this spectacle of Bakapara wearing this large basket upside down on his head, laughed. Amalei, so he said to him, La'av zartich d'loi vatchin, didn't I warn you not to make me laugh? Amalei, so Bakapara said to him, Chiti d'rishinu k'nesivna, I'm only taking the wheat that I have a claim on. So Mashah explains that he had, besides this deal that Rebbe had proposed, he owed Bakapara wheat, and that's what he was speaking about. That's what Bakapara came to claim. However, we follow the approach that we've been learning. Rebbe wanted Bakapara to stop acting as a batchin. And he said, even though that's your source of income, he says, I'm willing to pay you 40 measures of wheat, and you'll have income, just don't be a batchin, because as we're learning, Rebbe felt that batchanus was inappropriate. Bakapara said, it's not just the money. It's a way of life. I feel that this batchanus, I feel that this way of making people laugh is the appropriate way to live. And therefore, I ask you, you owe me the money because I won't back off. I will always be a batchan. Says the Gemara, Amay Bakapara labata de Rebbe. Bakapara said to the daughter of Rebbe, L'machash asina chamra, tomorrow I'm going to drink wine, b'kuda davuch, while your father is dancing, or b'kirkoni de'imach, and while your mother is singing. Mefarshim should say it doesn't mean necessarily that she was singing. We know kol b'isha, we're not supposed to listen to a woman singing. It means the Ben Yoyada says that she would just be making noises. B'kirkoni de'imach. Says the Gemara, Ben Elosha chasni de Rebbe hava. Ben Elosha was Rebbe's son-in-law. Vasha gol hava. He was a very wealthy person. And that's one of the reasons, Azmanei lebei hilulad Reb Shimon b'Rebbe, Rebbe invited him to his son's wedding, because the Gemara says, as we learned in Masechta Ksuvos, Rebbe mechabed ashirim. Rebbe would give honor to wealthy people. Amalei bakapara leRebbe. So bakapara asked Rebbe. The Torah uses the words to'eva. When the Torah teaches us the isser of having homosexual relations, the Torah uses the words to'eva. And what is the definition of the word to'eva, says Bakapara to Rebbe? So called Amalei Rebbe, d'hochen hu to'eva. Anyway, Rebbe attempted to define the word to'eva, parcha Bakapara. Bakapara would refute. Amalei parshiat. So he said, you explain it. Amalei, so Bakapara said to Rebbe, tveis teise devitche, termeli natla. Let your wife come and pour me a cup full of drink. Asaramulei. And she came and poured him the drink. Amalei le Rebbe. And then Bakapara said to Rebbe, come rekoidli de emeloth. Come and dance for me so I could give you, and then I will give you my explanation. Rebbe did as he was asked. And then he answered, Hachi amrachmona, this is what the Torah means when it says, to'eva, toya ataba. You're straying with this cohabitation. This is not the appropriate way to live. And as the Mefarshim explained, we need to understand Rebbe, we need to understand Bakapara. Understanding Rebbe means to say that Rebbe understood. Rebbe understood, and Rebbe was so willing to give anything up for Torah that here we have Rebbe who's the serious person, never laughs, and now he's dancing. To understand pshat in a pasuk in the Torah, Rebbe dances. In terms of the other way, what was Bakapara trying to do? Bakapara was trying to show Rebbe, although I am a batchin, I'm a batchin, and I make jokes. My jokes aren't just jokes without any purpose. There's a pshat in what I say, especially as they were attending a wedding. Bakapara was the batchin of the wedding. He was saying, let us always remember what is the purpose of getting married. The purpose of getting married is not to have relations. To'eva, just having relations could be even abominable. What is important is to build Jewish families. And that was what Bakapara's lesson to Rebbe was. My dancing, my singing, my smiling, is all with a very serious purpose behind it. L'kasachrina, for the next cup of wine, Amalei said to him, my tevel. The Torah speaks about b'cho behema l'sita yishraftecha l'tamaba v'yishal yisamed l'fnei behema l'riva tevel hu. The Torah speaks about somebody having relations with an animal. The Torah used the words tevel. Amalei kinyona kadmo. And the same thing as happened before happened, where Rebbe wasn't able to explain the word tevel, and Rebbe asked Bakapara to explain it. Amalei avad loy da'imalach, will you do what I tell you? Avad, and Rebbe did, he danced. Amalei tevel hu, tavlin yeshba, is there any spice? Is this bia? Is this having relation with an animal bring any real pleasure? It's not, there's no pleasure to this, there's no tachlis to this, and therefore it's inappropriate. Maishna hai biya mikulam biya is what makes this biya special. Amalei, and then Rebbe again has this conversation with Bakapara. Maizima, the Torah, when it speaks about immoral relations, uses the word zima. What does zima mean? Amalei, ovu kinyona kadma. Again, he tells him to serve the drink and dance. Ovu amalei zumahi. What is this? And Pasha Pshat is that if a woman has immoral relations, she has relations with other people besides her husband, the child that she then may have, we will never know his true paternity. What kind of life is this? A life that a person doesn't remain faithful to her husband. And again, this is, as we're discussing, by a wedding, we're Bakapara's message to the Chassan and Kala were, remain faithful to each other. Says the Gemara, Lo Yochel ben not Elosha Lemizbal, but Elosha cannot tolerate the treatment the Rebbe was undergoing. Kam v'nofakuva into Simitamon. So he and his wife left the wedding hall. And as the Mefarshim explained, that Ben Elosha was a man of great prestige, as we're going to learn soon, and he could not withstand this kind of situation. Ask him, my Ben Elosha, who is this Ben Elosha? And as the Mashah explains, Ben Elosha typically must have been a person that had something from his family. It was Ben Elosha. He wasn't called on his own name. He was called on the name of his father, Ben Elosha. Says the Gemara, the Tanya, the Brisa says, Loy lechinam pisa Ben Elosha es moisof. Not for nothing did Ben Elosha, spend his money. And as Mefarshim explained, Ben Elosha had three things as part of his yichus. One is that he was a son of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, the Kohen Gadol. Besides that he was a son of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, the Kohen Gadol, he was a son-in-law of Rebbe. And thirdly, he himself was a very wealthy person. And when he spent his money, Laharis ben Tasbar Shul Kohen Gadol, to show how a Kohen Gadol had a haircut. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Chosoim Yichmesus Rosheim. The Torah, when speaking about the haircut of a Kohen Gadol, says, in this way shall they trim a hair. Tana Kein Lulonius. What kind of a haircut is this? It's called Lulonius. My Lulonius, what does that mean? Ar Yehuda Tispar to Yechidol. It's a very unique type of haircut. Hey Chidomi, exactly how does it look? The tip of one hair reached the base of the hair next to it. And that was the type of haircut that Kohen Gadol took. And as the Mefarsh, as the Ben Yoyada explains, what is the deeper meaning and the deeper lesson of this haircut? The lesson of this haircut is the Kohen Gadol is Roshay. The Kohen Gadol is the head of Klal Yisrael. He leads Klal Yisrael. But it's Roshay Shalzeh. The one here, the top here, is at the base of the bottom here. He never forgets from where he comes, and therefore he always remains humble and an honor. Very important traits for the Kohen Gadol. The Mishnah said about Las Haramutza, if somebody made a nether that he's not allowed to eat from a tafshul, the Mishnah said that he is allowed to eat Dalas Haramutza. Ask the Gemara, my Dalas Haramutza. What is a Dalas Haramutza? I'm Shmuel Kar Karkuzoi. It's a squash that comes from Karkuza. Rav Ashama, Dalas Atmuna Beremetz. It's a squash that's baked in hot ashes. That's the way the squash was prepared. Eser Ravina Rav Ashi, Rav Chanan Yomer, it says in a Braisa, Dalas Aramos, he Dalas Amitzris. The Dalas Aramis and Dalas Amitzris are one and the same. And they are Kalayim in Hayavonis. They're Kalayim with a Dalas Hayavonis, which is Kalayim in Meramutza. So we see from here that Meramutza doesn't refer to the way this Dalas is prepared. Rather, Meramutza refers to where it comes from. Because when you speak about Kalayim, it doesn't make a difference how it's prepared. It makes a difference is it the same species or different species. The fact that Dalas Haramutza is called a species, it's a rai that's referring to a place, not to the way of preparation. And to Yufta, this is indeed refutes Rav Ashi's opinion that Dalas Haramutza refers to the way it was prepared. Says the Gemara. Says, actually, there are a few pshatim how to learn the next few words. Because if we recall, when we began our perek, the words that we're going to see in our Mishnah now really were already said at the end of the first mission of our parak. So some of Farshim actually say that this is not there's no new Mishnah here, and actually that's how it appears in the Mishnayos. Actually, the word Masnisan here is the word that shouldn't be here, and what a Masnisan here means is just that the Gemara is now going to explain these words, which were the last words of the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak. And is the way of the Gemara, it repeats the words of the Mishnah that it's going to explain. That's the way it seems the Ran learns. Others learn just the opposite. And they learn that the Mishnah, these words do not belong at the end of the Mishnah at the beginning of our Perek. Rather, they belong here as an independent Mishnah. And the Sefer Nidri's reason, we'll see in a moment, has a way of explaining that although the wording of this Mishnah is very similar, identical to the wording of the end of our first Mishnah, there are two different halachas being taught. But first, let's learn the words. Hanoida v'maisa gedera. Somebody makes a neder that he's not going to have hanoah from something that's prepared in a pot. Ena osa el v'maisa rischa. He's only also to eat something that requires extensive boiling. However, if he says koinem hayoyer l'kedera shani time, I'm not going to eat anything that's put into a pot. Osa b'chol hamas b'kedera. Then he's forbidden to eat anything that's made in a pot. That's how we explained when we learned the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak, and that's the way the Ran explained it. The Nidri's reason says there are two different pshatim. The first Mishnah in our parak was teaching us, as we learned, that if somebody says ma'isa gedera, something which is a salad, which is not eaten together with bread, is not in the category of tafshal. What we're learning here is that something that requires extensive cooking, and the Mefarshim explained there were certain foods, certain grain products that required very extensive cooking, that is the limud of this Mishnah. Before we begin the Gemara, the Rishonim teach us that in those times, when they would fry something in a frying pan, they would first cook it in a pot, and after they first cooked it, then would they fry it. And teaches us the Braisa. Hanoidim nayorid l'kadeira. If somebody makes a nether, they will not benefit from something that goes into a pot. It's also b'yorid l'ilfis. He may not even eat something that goes into a frying pan. Shekvah yorid l'kadeira kodim shorid l'ilfis. For as we just said, everything that's put into the frying pan was first put into a pot. And since it was first put into a pot, it therefore is considered it's osur, even though it will be ultimately fried. However, if somebody said minayor l'kedera, that he's not going to benefit from something that's going to be fried, mutavayor l'kedera, he may eat something that was only cooked in a pot. And the Ran asks, obviously, if it was only in a pot and then it's not fried, says the Ran, since, as we just said, everything that was fried was first cooked. So if we have a food that we're going through the process of first cooking and then frying, since we're going to ultimately fry it, maybe even if it was only in a pot, it should already be considered yorid l'ilfis, teaches us the Gemara that until it's actually in the pot, it's still considered yorid l'ilfis. It's not considered yorid l'ilfis. If somebody uses the words minanas v'gedeir, something that's finished in a pot, even though the food was first in the pot, but since it's not finished in the pot, this particular food is going to be fried, and then and only then will it be considered finished. So even though it was at one point in the pot, it's mutter. If somebody says me'anas v'ilfis, something that's going to be finished in the pan, mutter b'masa k'deir, is permitted to eat something that's finished in the pot, because once it's finished in the pot, it's not considered nasa b'ilfis. Says the Gemara, Hanoyer minayorid latana, the Braisa continues, if somebody makes a nether, they won't eat something that goes into oven, and also elba pasi, it's only also to eat bread. Because bread is the most common food that is eaten that's prepared in a furnace. The Omer kol masa tanur olai, also b'chol masa matanurim, then he is also, and anything that goes into the oven, cake or meat or whatever. There's a machloikis in Rishonim, what is the operative word that makes now anything put into the oven also. Some say the operative word is masataner, and some say the word is kol. Since he used the word kol, it means everything that's put into anything that was ever put into the oven. Says the Mishnah, minakovish, if somebody makes a nether, then he will not benefit from preserved food, and also el min hakavush shel yarek. It means the most typical preserved food, and that is vegetables. Kavush shani taim, but if the person used the word kavush shani taim, os v'chol hakvushim. And there's a very fundamental machloikis, the two ways that the Ran explains our Gemara, our Mishnah and our Gemara. The Ran says that the difference between the first case and the second case is the word ha-kovish. In the first case, he said the word ha-kovish with that hey ha-yidia. Using that hey ha-yidia means the kovish, which means to exclude anything but the most common kovish and only include vegetables. Whereas in the second case, he used the word shani toyim, where he didn't use the word ha-kovish, he just used the word kovish, and therefore it includes all types of preserved foods. The other pshat in the Ran is that it's the difference between the reish and the sefer is not the hay, using the hay, versus not using the hay. Rather, the difference is using the word shani toyim. In the reish, he didn't say the word shani toyim, and the sefer, he did use the word shani toyim. That's the difference. Similar, menasholik. And we go back to what we discussed at the beginning of the parak. According to the Ran, the word sholok here means undercooked food. If he prohibited himself from undercooked food, ena osa, and then sholok shabasa. That is the typical food that's prepared this way, meat. He said sholok shanitayim, os b'chol shalukim. Says the Gemara. Amalei Rav Achab Reider of Avila Rav Ashi. Amr the kavishmai. What will be the halacha if he used the word the kavish, or he used the word dishalik with the dalit, or the word ditsali, the miliach, salted food, we'll discuss that soon. Heichen mashma, what is dalocha? And again, we will follow the two pshatim that the Ran taught us. One pshat that the Ran, we follow the first pshat of the Ran. The Gemara's question is, does using the prefix of a dalit have the same din as if we use the prefix of a hay? Just like our Mishnah said, if we use a prefix, ha-kovish, ha-shalok, we mean the most specific type. Is dalet the same or not? That's one way of explaining the Gemara. Another way of explaining the Gemara is that our Mishnah said that when somebody uses the word sh'ani toyim, that was the second pshat in the Ran, it's more inclusive. And the Gemara's question now is, when using the dalet, is that the same as of using the word shani toyim or not? And the Gemara remains with tibayi, as we already have been saying from the beginning of Masechta. In Masecht Nedarim, instead of using the word teku, the Gemara uses the word tibayi. And as the Ran tells us, whenever we have a shail in Nedarim, it's a suffix derais l'chumra, and we would have to be machmer, and all types of preserved and undercooked foods would be awesome. If somebody said min hatzoli with that, hey, the halacha is en osman atzoli shabasar. We say that he means meat. Divrei Reb Yehuda. Tzoli shani toyim. If somebody says I won't eat tzoli without the hay, os b'chotzlui, he's not allowed to eat any roasted food. Min ha-maliach. If somebody said he's not going to eat salted food, en os el min ha-maliach shadag. He's not allowed to eat salted fish. That is the ha-maliach, the typical salted food. We said, Maliach Shani Toyim, I'm not going to eat anything salty. Also, B'chol Meluchim can't eat any salted food. If somebody used the words, Dog Dogim Shani Toyim, I won't eat Dog Dogim. Also, Bang B'gdoilim Bang K'tanim. So, the way the Ran learns, and this fits with the Gemara we're going to learn from Shimon ben Lazar in a minute, the word dog refers to large fish, Dogim refers to small fish, and by using the words Dog Dogim, he may not eat any type of fish. However, it has to be a whole fish. And therefore, he's not allowed to eat any whole fish, bein meluchim, bein tefelim, whether they're salted or not salted. Although the Mefarshim ask, salt, unsalted fish are not edible. So how could one suggest that unsalted fish is what he meant? It's not edible. So Mefarshim explained that since salting fish is quite an easy process, therefore, the fact that it's missing the salt doesn't exclude them from his nether. Ben Chaim Misholem, whether they're raw or cooked. Umota betris trufa, bizlari tris trufa. Tris trufa is a kind of chopped fish. There's machlokes if it's a specific type of fish, or all chopped fish salad are considered tris trufa. And he's allowed to have tzir, the brine, umurius fish juice. Brine is the liquid in which the fish is actually pickled, and the murius is the juice that comes out of the fish. Hanoidim natzachna, and one says that he won't eat tzachna. Tzachna is a mixture of small salted fish, which are mostly whole, but they do have some chopped fish as well in this tzachna. Also with tris trufa, he won't be allowed to eat tris trufa, because tris trufa is chopped fish, and part of the tzachna food is to eat, is having chopped fish. However, umutah betzur b'murius, he will be allowed to eat tzir or murius, because they're not considered actually part of the fish. As we're going to learn, there may be a difference between the tzir or murius that comes out of the fish before the neder was made versus the tzir or murius that came after the neder was made. Hanoid b'tris trufa, if somebody makes a neder that he's not allowed to eat tris trufa, the halach is mutter b'tzir or murius, he's allowed to have mutter b'tzir or murius, they're not considered actually part of the fish, but he may not eat the fish. There's an interesting halshaila. What will be the halach regarding tzachna? If somebody made a neder that he's not allowed to eat tris trufa, would he be allowed to eat tzachna or not? The Ran says that the Mishnah was very specific in not mentioning what will be the halacha regarding the tzachna, because as we explained, the tzachna has in it two parts. It has the chopped fish part and the whole small fish part. If somebody made a neder of they won't eat tris trufa, he's not allowed to eat the chopped part of the tzachna, but he may eat the whole part, the whole fish that are in the tzachna. That's the Ran's opinion. The Ritva's opinion is that if somebody made a neder that is not allowed to eat tris trufa, he certainly may not eat tzachna, because tzachna is certainly same as tris trufa, and he can't eat any part of the tzachna. Tanya. So we learned in a braisa. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, if somebody says dog shani toyim, that he will not eat fish, also b'gdoilim mutabiktanim, he's not allowed to eat large fish, but he's allowed to eat small fish. If he says doggo shani toyim, also b'ktanim, doggo we say means small fish, or mutar b'gdoilim, but it doesn't mean large fish. The Yerushalmi says that what is the size, how do we differentiate what's a large fish and what's a small fish? If it's the size of a litra, it's considered a large fish. If it's smaller than a litra, it's considered a small fish. If somebody says dog dog shani toyim, then the halacha is also bein begdolim bein ktanim. He may not eat neither large or small fish. Amar le Rapapa labaya. So Rapapa asked Abaya, "Mamai the dog shani toyim godlhu? How do I know that dog means a big fish? The ksiv, because the pasuk says the yimin Hashem dog godl of loyas yoina. Hakadosh Baruch Hu created a large fish to swallow." Yoino, as we know, as he ran away not to have to give Musr to the city of Nineveh. So we see that the Pasuk uses the word Dag, and that's the Dag Godel. Says the Gemara, but it's Siv, V'yispal Hashem, V'yispal Yoino El Hashem El Kob Mimeha Doga. So we see that Yoino is in the fish, and he's still calling it Doga. Halei Kasha. What happened was, Dima Pante Dag Godel, or Bale Dag Cotton. A big fish first swallowed him, then expelled him, and he was swallowed by a small fish, and as smaller fish. And as the Mashah explains the Gemara, what happened was, as we just said a moment ago, Yoina was running away because he did not want to give Musr to the people of the city of Nineveh, and he was swallowed by a large male fish. That's the Pasuk of Yimin Hashem Dag Godel of Lois Yoina. And Yoina had it pretty good in that fish. It was a large, empty cavity, where he sat and learnt and davened. and didn't have to go to the city of Nineveh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was unhappy that Jonah was that comfortable in there. So what happened then was that Jonah was then swallowed by a female fish who had in its body hundreds and hundreds of small fish that it was going to lay. And those, and therefore, Jonah now was not that comfortable. So yes, the second fish is a big fish, but if we compare it to the first fish, it's smaller, it's a lot more cramped. And that's why the Pasuk uses the word doga to speak about the second fish. So the Gemara, the proof is from what it says by Makos Dam. It says, Avadoga Shebiyora Mesa. Ktan Mesa. Gdolim Lai Mesu. The Pasuk uses the words doga, but does it mean only small fish? Certainly all fish died. El doga mashme gdoila mashme ktan. Doga can really mean both ways. There is no clear shot from the Pasuk which way it means. However, as we've been learning, Nidaram Holch Achaloshim Bnei Adam, and people call a large fish dog, and a small fish is called doga. Hanoidim Natsachna. We learned if Sonny made another, they won't benefit from Tsachna. Omalei Ravina Ravashi. So then he may not eat, as we learned in the Mishnah, he may not eat the Tris Trufa. But he may eat Tsir Emurius. Oma Harei Olai Tsichem Mai. If somebody used the word Tsichem, what does that mean? Is that just a plural form of the word Tsachna? Or perhaps it comes to not just, it means a lot of Tsachna food, or does it mean much more than just Tsachna? And the Gemara says, Tibayi, we leave this with a Shaila. The Mepharshim asked that our Gemara, when it wanted to prove that the word Doga doesn't only refer to small fish, it also refers to big fish, it quotes the Pasuk of Adoga Shebiyara Mesa. And the Gemara says, certainly all types of fish died, just the big fish and the small fish. So the Mepharshim asks, why does the Gemara, when it wants to quote what happened by Makkah Stam, quote the Pasuk, which is at the end of the Makkah, Vadoga Shebiyara Mesa, why doesn't the Gemara bring the Pasuk at the beginning of the Makkah, where it says, Vadoga Shebiyara Thomas Uvash Hayar? So the Pasuk clearly says that all the fish will die. So, I saw two truths. Rav Chaim HaKohen Rapport, in the Sefer Mayim Chaim, explains this way. Who indeed says, how does the Gemara know, he says, that all fish died? Maybe only the small fish died and not the big fish, and we don't have any proof that the word doga therefore includes big fish. So you'll say, he says, it makes no sense to say that only the small fish died. So, but how do we know, he says, how do we actually know what happened? So he says, because we find that the end of the Makkah, the Torah uses the words, Vadoga Shebiyara Mesa. So if the Torah is coming to say that all fish died, so the Pasuk being ambiguous and not differentiating between big fish and small fish makes all the sense in the world. But if it was only the small fish that died, so why doesn't the Torah make the point that it was only the small fish and not the big fish? It must be that all fish died. However, Shlomo Kluger in the Sefer Nidri Zrizim has a different approach. He says that if we look at the beginning at the Pasuk that discusses the Makkah, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "V'nepchu hamayim asher biyor l'dom, v'nilu mitzrayim lishtois mayim minayor." It doesn't say all the water, he says. "V'nepchu hamayim." Some of the water in the yam will turn into blood, and it will become a bother, it will become burden for Mitzrayim to get water. Because at the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan was that only the water near the seashore should turn into blood, and therefore only the fish which are near the shore would die. Which fish are those? Those are the small fish. So if we would only bring the Pasuk that happened, that speaks at the beginning of the Makkah, at the beginning of the Makkah, their intention was actually to only bring the small fish next to that the small fish would die. Because only the water near the shore was the water that was supposed to turn into dam. Only later did HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide, V'yepchu kol ha-mayim ashibiyar l'dam, that everything, here the Torah uses the words, kol ha-mayim, the law yochlu mitzrayim lishtas mayim minayar, they couldn't drink any water because all of the yam had turned into dye, had turned into blood. And that's why the appropriate pasuk for the Gemara to bring, that dog means both big fish and small fish, is only after we actually see that the entire yar turned into dam. And therefore all the fish in the yar died. Kol hamayim ashebi yar. All of the water turned them to dam. And that's why v'adog ashebi yar meisa. All of the fish, both big and small, died. And we see that the word dagim in the Torah means both dagim gedolim and dagim ketanim.